106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. It's Thursday. It's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
I thought we would talk about something that I'm very confused by, and that is dog collars and harnesses, because I would think that certain collars and harnesses are better for some dogs than others. And maybe you could help us navigate through that to make when we're making choices for what kind of collar to buy for our dog.
Yeah, it's a great topic because it is something that it can, if we use the wrong thing, especially if we use it consistently, then it can cause harm to our pets. So it's a good topic to consider. I mean, the classic way to walk your dog really is having a collar and the cloth or leather collar and then having it hooked up to a leash and just the collars around their neck and walking them that way. And for the perfect dog, that might be wonderful and fine. That might be just A-okay to use. But some dogs, with using that over time, can cause them damage. So first off, your brachycephalic breeds. So your dogs that have the smushed noses that can't breathe very well anyway. They've got a really crowded oral cavity as well as really tiny nostrils to be able to breathe. So they can't breathe great anyway. And when you are using a collar, that can kind of make it worse when you're compressing that airway, especially if they're lunging and creating pressure on their throat. So certainly something to think about. I mean, it is one thing if it's a perfectly docile, well-behaved brachycephalic breed that walks well on a leash. But if they tug at all, then definitely that's something that maybe you move towards a harness a harness would be your only option there. The other scenarios where your collars might not be the best are for your larger dogs that tend to lunge and tug on that collar as they're walking on the leash. Labs are pretty common for that, but really any high energy dog that just isn't very well leash trained. Repeated trauma to that larynx over time can cause laryngeal paralysis, and that's where the larynx, the folds of the larynx are meant to open the airway when they're breathing in, but then close it when they're swallowing and eating. What happens with laryngeal paralysis is from the damages from trauma over time, external trauma over time, you get some paralysis of the larynx, those wings, so they can't open fully all the way, and then that's why you get your older, usually I'm seeing it with older labs, it sounds like a crosscut saw when they're breathing, kind of, because that larynx can't open fully for them to breathe. It's flapping a little bit, and so you get that noise when they're breathing heavy. And that's something that you know can develop with trauma to the larynx over time, which pulling on a leash can certainly contribute to that. The answer to that, I mean, most people would think, oh, well, let's move to a harness, but you do have to be careful with harnesses, because if you just get your run-of-the-mill standard harness, they will even pull harder and will have more power to pull you, because you basically hook them up like you would for a sled dog or a workhorse, in that they can bear more weight across their shoulders when they're moving. So it does have to be a certain type of harness that kind of compresses instead of allows them to pull. The other option that I think kind of can work well in certain cases, but it takes a lot of training to it, is the gentle leader, which is the leash that has a little strap over the nose, and it puts pressure on the nose. You have a lot more control. The problem with that, they have to be trained to walk with it. Mm-hmm. I tried that for all of maybe a day when my girl was little, simply because the first time you put them on, they just want to rub it off. She flopped to the ground and rubbed her nose all over the place, and just getting her to a point where she would walk, I didn't have the patience at the time for the training for that. But it's have the control, and I've seen a lot of dogs that, I mean, it pressure over the nose, that's what gives you the most control, I think, for sure. But it's not going to work in dogs that don't have noses for the most part, so it's not a great choice for your brachycephalic.
And I've tried a gentle lead. They make a collar that comes from England called a canny collar, so it's a gentle lead, but it's a double. So it goes up over the nose, but instead of pulling to one side, it pulls directly back. And it is helpful, but same problem. You know, yep. Molly wants to drop to the ground. She wants to paw it off. The minute we stop for 2 seconds, if I look away, she has that paw up there sliding it off. And so it was difficult. What about like the Springer collar, you know, the choke chain collars and the Springer that has like the prongs in it. They're not sharp prongs, but they're gentle prongs. What about those? Is there a use for those, and are they safe?
I think if you know how to use them and you know what you're doing, I think there's a use for them. I've seen especially some really large dogs that have the potential, if they got off the lead, I've seen them used in those cases. There's some dogs that are really hard to control on leashes with the prong collars. I haven't necessarily seen trauma secondary to prong collars, but I think that the potential is there if they're not used right. But I think that they can, you know, if used right and conscientious about using them, like a whole perspective, you know, if it would be dangerous for the dog to get off the leash, then you need to up your game a little bit in keeping them contained. So and sometimes it really is the only thing for your larger dogs that really get stubborn in terms of walking on a lead. Mm-hmm. That's the only option. It can be really difficult. I mean, if you don't know how to take them off and put them on, they're a little bit tricky to master. But the people that I've seen when they've used them, the dogs in here, I mean, they're well looked after. I don't see any trauma to the skin underneath those prongs.
And I think my final question is, and this is something I've often thought about. I tend to leave my dog's collar on all the time. And Molly doesn't sleep in a crate, but I have had other dogs that have been crate trained. Is it a concern safety-wise for them, especially if they are dogs who are crated when you're away, to wear their collar all the time? Should you take it off when you crate them, or is that not a concern?
I think you have to know your animal. I think ideally, you know, perfect world, take it off, because that's just one more thing that can happen, a potential hazard. But if your dog is the kind of dog that knows the drill, goes in the crate, doesn't do much, doesn't suffer from separation anxiety, doesn't tear the crate up, just kind of pretty chill about the whole thing, then I think you're probably fine. But yeah, we would worry about getting hung up on a particular portion, you know, especially if they're damaging the crate. The bigger concern, not the bigger concern, because that's a huge concern if something like that were to happen. But from my point of view, what I see far more often when collars are left on all the time is a secondary dermatitis because of the collar. Unless it's like a metal, your plastic, even your leather, kind of trap bacteria and create an environment that is perfect for bacteria to thrive. So, and create a skin infection. So that's the biggest reason I would say, hey, take the collars off when they're not needed.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. Crockett on a future show, you can email it to her at askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.